From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 20th day of November, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net. And we'll continue our National Farm City Week celebration. Today, we'll talk with Travis Mateer. He's a University of Illinois Extension beef cattle educator. And we'll do all of that right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org, willag.org. There you can play our daily agricultural programming right from the website or pick it up as a podcast.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Kurt Kimmel now joins us from agmarket.net. Hi, Kurt. Thank you for taking some time with me. Just a note that you and I are recording on Sunday night, of course, because I'm busy with the Farm Assets Conference here on campus today. I'll be back in the office tomorrow. But it looks like there were a lot of things that continue to happen in the marketplace across the planet. What are you watching specifically this week?
Well, we got the traditional Thanksgiving week. This is a week to really to maybe sit back and reflect what we went through this past year. We'd be thankful that did have a good crop. Some of these yields came in a little better than what we were expecting there, if that adverse weather we saw during the growing season. And the prices are actually staying up here, some higher levels, and some pretty good demand out there. And so I'm glad we had a real good harvest here. Weather cooperated, so a lot to be thankful for, and we got a lot to be thankful for you filling us in all the time for all the analysts you have on there. Todd, appreciate what you're doing.
Well, and thank you for all the time that you spend and volunteer with us. I appreciate that. And to the whole agmarket.net team. In fact, both Wayne Nelson and Matt Bennett are with me at the iHotel today. And about the time that this is airing, they should be up on stage or close to it. So we'll be talking about the markets there as well. If things go as they should, and I'm not certain this actually will be the case, you'll hear from them during Commodity Week this week. I'm hoping to have all of that recorded. So we'll see whether that takes place. They've changed the audio setup at the iHotel, and I'm not quite certain I'll be able to record it, but hopefully we will. I'll bet we'll talk about a whole lot of things. Still some issues within the marketplace related to the Black Sea and the grain corridor, the extension there for 120 days, railway lines, and we have to look forward to December the 9th. And then, of course, you mentioned the Thanksgiving holiday. This is not one like the rest of them where many things change. At least I don't recall that that's the case. So let's start there. Does the Thanksgiving holiday signal any real change in the marketplace generally?
Well, back in the day, before we had these automated computer black box, it used to be a fairly active Wednesday and then Friday on light volume for the most part. But what we're going to see here is a full day on Wednesday, no market Thursday. Then the market resumes trade on Friday morning at 8:30 and shuts down at 12 noon. And oftentimes that Friday could be choppy just due to everybody out and about. The other thing on Friday, we have December options expiration. So the puts and calls, if you're still on those, make sure you get those squared away. There's also ideas that depending on the trend, that trend changes all the time. If the bear gets Thanksgiving, the bull could probably have a Christmas or vice versa. And there's some analog studies, and Ag Resource does a great job on the close up or down prior to Thanksgiving and the close up or down post-Thanksgiving on that Friday. And I think they'll have that out hopefully Tuesday, so Wayne can fill you in on what they're looking on that. But once we – no pressure, Wayne. But once we get through option expiration, and next week is the delivery process as we go into the end of the month, and we're seeing some tremendous opinions. We've got some extremely high basis out west, 70, 80, 90 cents over on corn. We've got a huge amount of feedlot facilities out there, ethanol plants out there, just trying to get some corn booked. And here in the east, our basis is starting to firm up, and we're seeing a situation where we're sitting in the driver's seat here as far as we've got grain wanting to go west, we got grain wanting to go southwest, we've got grain wanting to go northwest, then we got grain wanting to go to the southeast. So I think there's going to be tremendous opportunity. And as a producer, what we're kind of looking at, Todd, is I think you're going to have your best marketing opportunity or basis here going into the first, second week in December. So if you're looking for something to do, you might want to consider a basis contract. You're going to be calling. These elevators will offer you some free DP. That's going to be popular. That's to shake it loose, but I'm not a favor of that because it kind of gives the commercial the grain and they can have in their possession. So I'd maybe consider a basis contract and kind of look at that. After the first year, there's going to be quite a bit of grain be shook loose, and I think we could be subject to some weakness there, especially if that South American forecast holds true. So I think there's going to be some markets here you need to probably keep an eye on. We like keeping it simple. Move the grain and kind of replace in case we have a weather event later on during the growing season.
How would you implement that kind of contract?
I would probably consider a price floor basis is step one, but oftentimes that's not the answer if the market would happen to continue to go lower. Yeah, I got a good basis, but I took a lower price. So I'd consider a price floor. Then you're just covered and set back and let the market do its thing. As far as extremely high basis or sharply higher cash markets, that probably won't occur until later on next summer, like we did this last time. And you might have to hang on to it longer than what you want. So kind of looking at the situation here, there's going to be some opportunity here. And these guys, you know, remember, if you were a buyer, you had to pay up here. Late last summer, and they don't want to get caught in that situation. And so they've been doing their best here to get stuff booked out, at least through end of the year and that first part of in the January, first part of February, because they know the best time to buy is in the fall, and they're trying their best to do that, because once the bin door goes shut, it's kind of hard to get stuff shook loose until the calendar turns 2023.
Let's talk about some of the other things that will be coming up. Anything new with the potential outcome of the rail strike? I believe December 9th was the last date that I saw where they expect to have things settled. Will Washington, D.C. step in again?
Well, yeah. I don't know if they should or should not. Sometimes that's good and sometimes that's not so good, but it is part of a national concern in all sectors. You know, us in agriculture, there's been a lot of rail booked, and rail's been a hot topic here because of the river situation. But I believe the government will step in or do something here, because we're talking just a massive economic meltdown if something would materialize and we stop the rail traffic. We just can't have consumer not be able to get some products here, some supply chain lines, you know, it'd be really devastating. So that's a topic that hopefully they'll stay on top of.
You mentioned the Mississippi River. It has recovered somewhat. Are the expectations there?
Yeah, we're seeing a slight rise in water levels. And so they are able to throw a few more bushels on those barges there. But that's going to be the key, is to watch that level, and it's going to be important to get some winter rains, winter snows here, so they got some moisture to work with. As you look at the upper part of the Midwest, actually we'll see those rivers freeze, so traffic will be at a halt in the northern part here fairly quickly here as we start to see winter set on. Drought monitor, you know, that's the thing, especially where the conditions along the tributaries that feed the Mississippi, it's going to be important for those areas to get some moisture or runoff to help that out. Kind of reminds me of 1987 we had a recovery in the market out of that 85, 86 area. Had some things going on. Exports picked up. But it was just bone dry all winter long and into that spring. And I know we got some good genetics today, but we got to have moisture to germinate and get it going. So this weather forecast will be mainly focused on South America, but we can't forget about our weather forecast up here. One, for transportation of the river, and two, to recharge soil moisture for next growing season.
You mentioned South America. Of course, a crop is coming on there, both corn, soybeans, and a wheat crop, too. What do we hear about the conditions as we made our way through the weekend?
Well, we saw anywhere from 2/10 to 1.5 inches in Argentina on 60% coverage. Mainly northern Argentina. You take southern Argentina, it's dry and shows little red globs on that weather update. You'll see if you pull that up tonight in the morning. Then, two, Brazil's about the same situation. You know, the northern part and western part's getting some moisture to work with, but that southern Brazil's dry. But we're not seeing the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 inch rains that they typically have as they go into their wet season. We came out of their dry season. So it's going to be important to see timely rains, which is kind of in the forecast, but we need to see those moisture totals a little bit higher. They've already been dialed in to have a huge crop there, a larger crop. So it's going to be real important for them to follow through on that. So the pressures on the southern hemisphere, any type of heat cup down there, will continue to support our market up here in the northern hemisphere.
You have a fantastic Thanksgiving week and a great holiday, too.
You bet. Stay safe and have an enjoyable time, and we'll catch you all next week.
Kurt Kimmel is with AgMarket.net. A reminder that he and I spoke on Sunday evening, as today I'm hosting the Farm Assets Conference at the I Hotel here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Well, as you know, I'm at the Farm Assets Conference today here in Champaign-Urbana, hosting the Farm Assets Conference for the Farm Doc team. It's the first of our winter meeting series. The next set will come in January when we'll host the Illinois Farm Economic Summits in Mount Vernon, Peoria, and DeKalb on January the 10th. That's a Tuesday, the 11th and the 12th. And then we'll repeat that whole series as one-hour webinars for the next 6 weeks, beginning January the 19th and ending on the 23rd. And we'll wrap up with the All-Day Outlook over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Part of the Farm Doc schedule, that's on Tuesday, March the 7th of 2023. Put all those events in your calendar, and if you didn't write them down, no worries. You can get them at willag.org. Look under schedule, and in that calendar, anything in red is a travel event for me, but most of those events will be the Farm Doc team webinars and events on the road. Again, that's in the schedule, or you can go to Farm Doc Daily and click on webinars, and it should pop up, and if not, look under upcoming. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. It's National Farm City Week from now through Thanksgiving. University of Illinois Extension is celebrating the link between rural and urban areas. Today, we'll explore beef cattle production in the state with Travis Mateer. He is an Extension educator. I asked him just what it is that he does.
Yes, I work for University of Illinois Extension, and I really support folks that are raising beef cattle across the state of Illinois with a little more focus on our commercial industry, but certainly help all producers. We also end up answering a lot of questions in the realm of forages and grazing and hay and some of the support topics that go along with beef cattle production.
What are the things you do on a daily basis with and for beef producers in the state?
Yeah, so I'd say one of the biggest things that we do every day is serve as a consultant to producers. And so Extension's developed a reputation over time of being an unbiased third-party consultant. So there's a lot of decisions that farmers have to make day in and day out for their families and the profitability of their farms. and utilizing Extension as a consultant with really no bias in terms of marketing or selling products. People really, really see value in that. Otherwise, we plan educational events. We develop resources to help producers make decisions. And I think one of the key parts of the land grant mission is taking out information and discovery that we really get from our research on campus. And we end up, you know, taking that to the producer and making sure that they understand it. And hopefully they can practically use that on their farm. And that circle goes that circle goes all the way around. So it's a full circle. So a lot of times I get questions from producers, and if we don't have the answers for them or we don't have previous research to answer those questions, sometimes those questions are actually developed into a research project. And so we may try to answer those questions for them in a research environment where we can tease out those specific results. Whereas on farm, that producer may change 5 or 10 different things in a year and say, well, we're not sure exactly why we got a better result because we changed so many things. In our research environment, we can set it up so that those lone variables are explained.
Do you have examples of things that come from research on campus that you implement today with producers?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the biggest ones is byproduct feeds. And we sit here right now in a climate of really high commodity prices. And so University of Illinois has been a leader in doing research in byproduct feeds, mainly corn gluten feed, distillers grains here recently, but also other byproducts as well. And as I think to the discussions that I have with producers day in and day out, is they're looking at how they can control feed costs. We've also done an extensive amount of research on utilizing corn stalks in rations or grazing corn stalks. That information's being actively shared. And then I think one other thing I want to point out, Todd, is I get a lot of questions from producers in those conversations that result in research projects. So at the Orr Center, where I'm based, we've done a lot of research on timely supplementation at breeding, because we know that our spring forages, our cool season grasses in the spring can be lush and kind of washy and maybe not support the lactation demands of cows. So I was having lots of comments from producers that their cows weren't rebreeding on pasture. And so we've helped solve some of those issues. We've also looked at different heifer development scenarios. So what weight do we need to develop heifers to? We've looked at that at the Dixon Springs Research Farm. And then I'll speak for Teresa Steckler a little bit, my colleague. A lot of producers in Southern Illinois are battling anaplasmosis and still are. She's done a great job of gathering information about the prevalence of anaplasmosis and then potential options on how to manage that disease because it is becoming more endemic in our area, especially in the southern, and really actually I think part of our research shows that it's growing in different areas that maybe the stigma or traditional boundaries would apply.
Can you tell me just a bit about the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale? This is a long-running event that Extension has been involved in, I believe, which has had a dramatic impact on the herd in the state of Illinois and across the country for that matter.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite programs that we get to be involved with. And so there's a lot of folks that come before me, but I do serve as the current Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale manager. Just to kind of give a quick overview of what that is, it's a program that sets pretty high standards for seed stock cattle. And so our seed stock breeders, purebred cattlemen in Illinois, have a bar that they can reach to consign their genetics and their bulls to this sale. And like I said, there is a lot of hurdles and that bar is pretty high. But we set that standard and then they're given an opportunity to market those cattle at what we feel like is kind of a showcase event at the leadoff event of the Illinois Beef Expo. And those genetics then are purchased by commercial cattlemen across the Midwest. And because we've set that genetic bar so high, we feel like that, brings a lot of value to those commercial bull buyers in their next calf crop. The last 53 years, we've sold nearly 4,900 bulls, and it's generated over $9 million. So it's a big program. A lot of people, a lot of tradition and history that still is I think a testament to performance testing, and we've evolved now to what we feel like is an opportunity for Illinois cattlemen and Illinois purebred producers to showcase some of their best genetics at the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale.
How do you suppose that the sale and the other programming we've talked about here has an impact on people in the state of Illinois?
Yeah, and so I guess I want to answer that wholly. So the Performance Tested Bull Sale, I think, of course, we're getting the genetic component in there. So if we have better genetics, we're doing a lot of things, right? We're improving the growth and the performance and those profitability traits that cattlemen seek so they can stay in business. But we're also potentially improving the meat quality as well. So more tenderness, more marbling, a better eating experience for the consumer. And then kind of to bring it all back into one is extension and what we do as far as our research in various areas, our consulting. We help those producers control the cost side, produce the best genetics, and all that comes back to those producers being profitable, building a business that they can raise their family on, and strengthening those rural communities. And so I think it's a lot. We try to do a lot. And so it's not just the sale, it's not just a phone call with a producer, but we know that what we're doing to help our Illinois cattlemen be profitable and sustainable is going to help them, their families, and their communities.
One last question for you, Travis, and I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this one, but do you like your job?
Yeah, I love my job. I think it gives me the opportunity to talk to beef cattle producers and stakeholders on a daily basis. I'm passionate about the agriculture industry. I was lucky enough that I was born and raised on a farm, and my family's been involved in agriculture, so it's a deep passion that I have. And I love to represent that and continue to help improve it and make sure that Illinois continues to be a leader in agriculture and bring light to the fact that we've got some really fantastic beef cattle and beef cattle producers in the state of Illinois.
That's Travis Mateer. He's an Illinois Extension beef cattle educator. We're celebrating National Farm City Week, highlighting some of the ways Extension is woven into the social and educational fabric, connecting rural and urban areas of America. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find our daily agricultural programming just to click and play from the website, or you can always check us out as a podcast. Look under the podcast tab, and it's easy to subscribe to us for the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy Podcast. You have a great holiday week, and we'll talk with you again tomorrow here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.